Blog Talk Radio.
One, two, three, four. Can I have just a little more? Five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten. I love you. A, B, C, D. Can I bring my friends to tea? E, L, G, H, I, J. I love you.
Welcome, everybody, to this latest edition, this special edition of the Cyril Quinn Review on this 5th of July, 2012. 1 minute after the 31 minutes after the 7 o'clock hour. We're taking you for a full 2 hours tonight as we break down the free agency, NBA free agency. We're gonna cover it from start to finish. We're gonna give you every opinion known to man about all the big news in terms of trades. Who's where, who should go where, what team missed out. Everything is going to be covered. Before I introduce my esteemed panel, I'm going to go over the news of the day. And as always, you can follow me on Twitter at William Gerald, at William Gerald, twitter.com. Follow me at William Gerald. Also on facebook.com/Cyril Quinn. And also find any audio that I might have put up. Certainly the opening of this show will be on there as soon as possible. CyrilGeraldQuinn.com. I got so many things going on. I got confused myself, but it is what it is. Call number as always, 347-215-6180. And people, first of all, to my listening audience, I have to send out an apology for my absence. I have not been a good employee lately as far as doing shows. Haven't done a show since June 22nd. Supposed to do a show last week, but if anybody was in the Metro D.C. area, you understood the storms, 80-mile-an-hour winds. Obviously, I wasn't happy about that. But I'm coming back tonight with a vengeance. So we're going to have a great show tonight. News of the day, Serena Williams finds herself in her 7th Wimbledon final. She will take on... trying to look at this girl's name, Radwanska, who, and this shows you how bad women's tennis is, who was the number 3 player in the world, but nobody, I don't even know who the hell she is. So this is her first Grand Slam final. Serena, you know, is going for Wimbledon number 5. Good luck, Rada. Just good luck on that one. Baseball, Yu Darvish and David Freese are the final, two All-Stars in the American, National League by... They got voted in by the fans, so congratulations to them, but they certainly deserve that. And that is your news of the day. We'll save all the basketball. We have plenty of basketball news as well, so we're going to save that for the show. But that is the news of the day. I'm going to introduce now, again, we have a panel. We're going to have a panel of 3. Right now we're going too strong. Chad Quinn joins the program. Chad, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. Thanks for asking. Pleasure to be here once again. Just excited to be here with all this free agency talk we can get into in a minute.
No doubt about it. And Robert Sapp will be joining us as soon as he gets off the train. he'll be joining us shortly. I'm certainly the show's 2 hours, so we have plenty of time for Mr. Sapp. We'll save him a couple of scraps. You know, save him some scraps.
Yeah,
he's gonna have to fend for himself. This is what happens when you get late to the dinner table. Anybody with a bunch of brothers and sisters know how that is. So, but we're going to begin with, to me, the biggest move as far as, and, you know, you can go Darren. We'll talk about Darren Williams, but there are so many pieces of Darren Williams, and I don't think the Darren Williams move was a shock. But to me, the Steve Nash to L.A. is the biggest move up to this point so far. Again, there's a lot of layers to this particular move. As a Laker fan, certainly I have plenty to say on it, but I'll allow Chad to chime in his thoughts on what he thinks about this deal, what it means for the Lakers, and what it means for the rest of the Western Conference.
Yeah, you know, first off, I was very just caught off guard with the deal. I mean, I knew that the Lakers supposedly were in the background of the Steve Nash talk, but, you know, every report was saying the lead was either Toronto or New York going back and forth. So first off, I was just shocked. But then you think about the possibilities, I think automatically I'm still giving OKC the edge because they are the defending Western Conference champs, but the Lakers are right back there in contention. I mean, you think about, and I wasn't even impressed with Sessions when you got the acquisition last year, but he made your offense better. You were a lot more efficient with him, and he still wasn't even that great. So to put a Steve Nash type, he automatically makes everyone better. I don't know how much better he can really make Kobe, but just makes the game so much easier for Powell as well as Bynum. And then besides his point guard skills, he just, you can't clog the lane because he's such a great shooter that no one's even talking about. Nash just brings you to a whole other dimension. His age is not a factor at all because we're not asking him to take over games and average 20 and 15. So his veteran leadership, and also his hunger, because clearly he took less money. And you know, of course it was for his children too, as far as the area. But I was very impressed. But the best word I could use is intrigued. I don't know what this necessarily means. I know Kobe never played with a point guard of his caliber, never needed to. In the triangle offense, you didn't really need to have the greatest point guard. But this would just be a very interesting mix. You know, I'm looking forward to just seeing them on paper because it's just scary. I think the other thing that you can't underestimate is Kobe's hunger, and I feel like Kobe's always motivated because he really wants a single ring anyway, but I think having Steve Nash there takes it to a whole nother level. So I'm intrigued. I'm cautiously optimistic because I don't really care about Mike Brown, but he's not an offensive guru. Let's just put that out there. He's not. You know, so I think if he just gives them their flexibility to play their game, the biggest thing that they have going for them is a complete offseason to work together and train. If this was last year, it wouldn't have been a big deal. It would have been a jam, a mess. But I think training camp will help this team really get a chance to gel. And when you mentioned Derek Williams, I'm very intrigued to see if this will pique Dwight Howard's curiosity a little more to try to commit. But anyway, it's a good deal. When you think about what they gave away, which was nothing, the trade exception for Odom and some draft round, first round picks that was going to be late 20s anyway at best, I mean, it's like, how don't you do this deal? So, from an outside looking in, as not a Lakers fan, I'm impressed with this move. Very impressed.
Yeah, from a Laker perspective, first of all, the deal caught me off guard. I was not expecting it. I thought Nash would either end up with the Knicks or go back to Toronto, go back to Canada with Toronto. He has strong Canadian ties. They've been talking about him, you know, possibly getting some executive position once he retired. And I understand he still might end up being an ambassador for Canadian basketball down the road. These are one of these moves where you go from the outhouse to the penthouse in some respects. And what I mean by that, Lakers are still, you know, along with San Antonio, probably the second team to beat in the West Final, Oklahoma City. Make no mistake about that. But their summer up to this point was looking bleak, to say the least. They hadn't done anything, you know. Forget about Ramon Sessions. Forget about Jordan Hills. They hadn't done anything, and there was really no flexibility for them to do anything unless something was going to happen with Dwight Howard.
Right.
So, you know, like, this opens up it opens up so many possibilities as far as the flexibility that they have with possibly, you know, Dwight Howard, with still even possibly even moving Paul Gasol.
I'm intrigued
by letting this team play out and see how it does. and, you know, waiting on possibly going after Dwight Howard, you know, All-Star break or something like that. Now, if, you know, if you can get Howard tomorrow, then by all means, I would do that deal. I mean, I would do a Metta World Peace, Andrew Bynum for Dwight Howard in a heartbeat. And I don't care if Dwight Howard, I dare Dwight Howard to have us, to get us to the finals so we us win a championship and he turns down to sign a long-term deal. I dare him to do that.
Right.
I was really willing to take, I'll take back Turkoglu's contract. The Lakers, you know, the Lakers are not, we don't, they're not thinking long-term. There's nothing, we don't have a piece currently on our roster that says we should be thinking long-term. Bottom line.
No.
And you get Dwight Howard, you can build around Dwight Howard easily.
Yeah.
Okay? You can build around Dwight Howard easily once you, when you get that piece in, that piece. So if I'm the Lakers right now, you know, second best team in the West, fine. Still not good enough. You know, Lakers are not trying to be the second best team in the West. The Lakers are about winning championships. So I like this team. And let me give you, I'm giving for my audience Nash's numbers to you know, piggyback on your point that he hasn't dropped off. This is, I'm going to give you the last 3 years. Nash, 16, 11, okay, 2009, 2010, he was 16.5 points, 11 assists, shot 50% from the field, 93% from the foul line, 42% from three-point land. Next, the following year, he was 14, almost 15 points a game, led the league in assists with 11.5 assists a game, 49% from the field, 39% from the three-point line, and 91% from the foul line. This past year, 12.5 points in limited minutes because of the compact schedule. 10.5, still averaged 10.7 assists, 53% from the field, 39% from three-point line, basically 40%, and 89% from the foul line. His game has not dropped off. He never counted on athleticism to begin with. At worst, you can't play him, obviously, 35, 40 minutes. Can't play him as many minutes. He can play 30 to 32 minutes, and he can play about 30 minutes a game during regular season. That would go up. But his game has never dropped off. This guy is one of the most well-conditioned athletes, well-conditioned players in the league, one of the smartest players in the league by far and away, and frankly, one of the greatest shooters in the history of the NBA. Just look at the numbers. He's shooting. He's one of the greatest shooters ever, period.
Can't dispute that.
And I don't know why he doesn't get mentioned along with the Ray Allens, Reggie Millers. So you got that kind of gets lost. You have to look at, you know, what he's shooting from the field. You have to look at free throw line, not just, you know, the fact that he can knock down threes. But in terms of shooters, you know, 17, 20 feet, three-point range, he, you know, Larry Bird, he's right up there with anybody who's ever played basketball, period. So, I think the offense will run smoother. I think it will take pressure off Kobe. And I want to dispel this thing before I get to the long-term prospects of the Lakers and Dwight Howard thing. This idea that this rivalry between Kobe and Steve Nash, heard a lot of that. Yeah, Phoenix and Lakers have no love loss. But this, you know, don't make this out to be the Celtics, okay? Phoenix, you know, Kobe wanted Nash. Kobe recruited Nash. Nash calls Kobe before this deal even happens.
Yeah.
So this, you know, they will play together fine. Kobe, the thing about Kobe Bryant, Kobe respects greatness. He respects greatness. Okay, you can talk about, you can say about what happened with Shaq. They won three championships, won three in a row. And Kobe is at the point in his career where he realizes the end is near, and he wants, like you say, he wants another ring, period.
Right.
He wants another ring. So, I don't see it being an issue as far as them meshing and Kobe playing off the ball. He will make Kobe's life so – Kobe will shoot 47-48% next year just based on Steve Nash just getting the ball in the right spots.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. And I think that, you know, to your point about Kobe respecting, you know, his craft, he respects professionals. Even with him and Shaq was winning, it wasn't so much about the spotlight that Kobe had a problem with. He had a problem with Shaq not being professional in a sense of not taking care of his body, letting himself get out of weight. With Steve Nash, automatically, Kobe has old problem deferring at times. And as good as Steve Nash's numbers were with Phoenix and the last couple of years with no one averaging even 20 points, sometimes he had to play certain minutes he didn't want to because the whole offense was relying on Steve Nash. That's not how the Lakers could run. You know, of course they're going to give him the ball and he's the point. But when Steve Nash goes out the game, now they can revert to just going back to Kobe and let him be the primary ball handler. So this is just a win-win no matter how you look at it. You know, like I said, I think my only issue with the Lakers still is y'all didn't lose to OKC because of a point guard. Y'all lost because they were younger, quicker, and more athletic. And I think that's one thing you still got to find a way to, you know, combat. I honestly, that's what we spoke before, you know, I agree with the assessment. Let's play this team out unless you get Dwight Howard right away. Let's play it out. And if it's not working, you got to trade that line. Because I want to go back to that whole Josh Smith for Gasol thing. If Gasol's not working out, he's too emotional or whatever, Steve Nash automatically turns Josh Smith into stat 2.0. He just does. He just does that for his game. We already know what type of athlete Josh Smith is, and I feel like him coming over where he could be a third option would be a wonderful situation. But I don't want to get too much into speculation. I'm just going to talk about the deal that's on the table, and it just looks great for you guys.
Yeah, I would do the white again. I would right now. I would go hard after Dwight Howard. I really would if I'm the Lakers. And again, we're going to get into that certainly with the whole Nets with the Nets thing. But I'm if I'm the Lakers, I'm going after Dwight Howard. And again, I'm daring him to turn us down. I mean, that's all there is to it. You know, the Lakers, if they get him in a trade, then they can be able to give him, you know, the amount of money that he's looking for. And I'm daring him to turn that down. You know,
yeah.
I want to see you turn down playing for an organization like the Lakers.
Well, let me ask you this. Because, you know, when the Hawks did all this clearing out, they said one driving force was Josh Smith and Dwight Howard, growing up very close friends. Would you guys be rolling the dice too much if you got Josh Smith first to, you know, even pique his interest even more? Or I'm just throwing that out there.
I don't think I can't see the Josh Smith thing happening. Like, I'm not sure that will happen before Dwight Howard at the Lakers. I think the Lakers' next big move would be Dwight Howard, to be honest with you.
Right.
I think the Lakers' next big move would be Dwight Howard. Like, I think that's what they want to do coming up next. I think that's what's on their radar next. I think if they can do Dwight Howard, then they'll stand pat with this team and then move forward and see how this team plays out and then possibly do a Josh Smith possibly.
If necessary, or get
other pieces.
Right. And smaller dudes, I'm hearing that, you know, Grant Hill's Lakers are retiring is where he stands right now. I heard Steve Nash is heavily recruiting him. So
right.
I think Grant Hill, you know, somebody could laugh listening, but Grant Hill's another veteran, hungry to win. He doesn't need to play long minutes. Grant Hill found that fountain of youth. If you look at him the last few years, I've marveled as he's transitioned himself into an elite defender. You know,
right.
And I feel like he's a great piece if you guys decide to amnesty or test or trade him. Grant Hill fills that void immediately. And he has a great, and once again, another professional and high IQ NBA player. You know, so the Lakers are really out of nowhere in great position right now. They're taking a different approach that you're seeing. So instead of trying to just get younger, they're just getting smarter. And like you said, your team is built to win now. And now meaning you have about, I still give you a 2 to 3 year window with Kobe, that is, and Steve Nash.
Yeah, I will never listen. The Boston Celtics have taught us something, and we'll get to the Celtics because certainly I have plenty to get to talk about them. The Celtics have taught us that old is not as old as you think it is.
Yeah.
Like, you can extend it a little longer. I mean, you is old is old, but it's not, you know, don't, I mean, like how many young teams are winning championships? It still comes down, you still need experience. You still, you know, Oklahoma City is just so ahead of the curve. And they, again, they have two beasts as far as they have legitimately two top five players. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, Kevin Durant has a chance to be the best player in the world in the next 2 years. So they, that's kind of a different animal what they're dealing with. And they still didn't win the championship. So you still need the experience. And, you know, you don't, the thing about the NBA is hard to rebuild. It is hard to rebuild in the NBA. Okay, it's hard to, you know, you can talk about tearing it apart. Look how long it took the Bulls to rebuild when they tried to, you know, kick, they basically kicked Jordan and Pippen off the curve. They were rebuilding for about a decade. So, you know, you can try to rebuild and think of that rebuilding the sound. Look how long it took the Celtics. Think about the Celtics. 80, they win a championship in 86. They go 22 years without winning a title.
Yep.
Utah is still rebuilding after the Stockton Malone era. They're still rebuilding. Think about that.
Yeah.
So you don't, you know, when you have people, the basic premise is when you have a chance, even a, I don't care if the win, and that's why I'm not, and I'll get to the Celtics, and I, that's why I'm not going to knock anybody for tearing, or San Antonio for not tearing it apart, you know, talking about 2-0, 2-0, that when that window, if you have, if that window is even slightly ajar, you have to take advantage to try to win a championship. I don't care how small the window is. I mean, it's too hard. This is not the NFL. It's not the NFL.
Yeah.
It's not baseball. It's too hard to rebuild in the NBA just based on the fact that the draft, the, you know, the draft, you have to have legitimately top five picks.
Well, let me, if I can interject just for 2 seconds. I'm not sure format-wise if you're going to even go there.
Okay.
Just to piggyback off your point, sometimes you gamble and it burns you. And a good example is that I'll give you 2 examples. One, someone burned them when the Celtics tried to get younger and got rid of Kendrick Perkins. They tried to get a little green, and they tried to blow the team up a little bit too early. That was a bad move, but it, they still survived. But a bigger scenario or example of this is the ultimate losers of the offseason thus far, the Dallas Mavericks. You win a championship.
We'll get to that. We want to say that.
Okay.
We're going to focus in on the Celtics.
I can't wait to get there.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a station break, a couple seconds. This is Cyril Quinn Review.
This is the Cyril Quinn Review featuring Chad Quinn and Rob Sapp.
Robert is somewhere out there. Somewhere.
Yeah, somewhere. It's in La La Land. Hopefully he hits you
people,
up.
Listen, people, when you don't make the show, and I'm giving him a hard time. He wants to be here. But this is what happened. You're going to get ridiculed. You're going to get, you know, tossed around. He's going to mess with you. He's going to give him a chance to listen to this and let him hear how we just toss him aside. But he'll be here soon. We're going to transition now to the big, again, we talked about the big trade with Nash going to the Lakers. Now we're going to talk about the number one free agent signing by far and away, and it has to be, of course, Darren Williams staying in Brooklyn or going to Brooklyn. Yeah, New Jersey to Brooklyn. I'm still getting used to this Brooklyn Net thing, but it'll come along. D. Will signing with the Brooklyn Nets, 5 years, $98 million. Not a shock. I don't want to hear about how close he was signed at Dallas. Whatever. Listen, it's different. I've yet to see a player turn down $25 million. You know, the Heat did what they did. You know, with $10 million, they still got $100 million contracts. So certainly no surprise. Also, the Nets, they make the trade for, they get Joe Johnson, who has 4 years, $89 million left on his contract. They sign Gerald Wallace, 4 years, $40 million. Again, a lot of moving parts with the Nets. They're still hoping to land Dwight Howard. I don't think that can happen unless some serious concessions are made. Chad, what are your thoughts on all these moving pieces? Because there are a lot of them.
There's a lot going on with the Nets. I guess the first way I want to attack it is just by, I'm pretty sure Dwight Howard probably not listening to this broadcast right now, but if he is, for any chance, you need to find Darren Williams' PR people and hire them. I mean, this man defines shrewd because he single-handedly orchestrated everything the Nets are doing. He's the GM. He's a GM. Because the things the Nets are doing don't make sense, but then they do make sense. And what I'm saying is, you overpaid Gerald Wallace. You took a terrible contract back at Joe Johnson. But the thing that makes sense is, it kept Williams. So clearly he wanted these moves. The best thing you did besides Williams, we'll get Reggie Evans. I mean, for cheap. I love the Reggie Evans pickup. But it's interesting because I feel like, going back to what we were just talking about in the last segment, teams built for winning now and later. You gave up Anthony Marr, who's a great shooter. You almost had to give up Marshawn Brooks, so you will if you do the Dwight Howard thing, but you kept him or whatever. That's not a big deal. But Gerald Wallace is already 30. Joe Johnson's 31. They have a lot of money owed to them. Williams is a young man. But you gave plenty of draft picks the last few years. So it's the Nets all over the place. It smells of desperation, but once again, it makes sense because you're going to Brooklyn and you had to have a marquee player. No disrespect to Brooke Lopez, but your name wasn't going to sell tickets in Brooklyn. You know, I think Williams being the centerpiece there. Now, also I want to say in respect to Lopez, you guys need to just forget about the Dwight Howard thing. I think you guys have a really strong team keeping Humphries and Lopez. You know, it doesn't put you over the top, but it puts you respectable again. And when you're coming from the New Jersey Nets where, you know, you have more Knicks fans than Nets games in their home, I think they could be satisfied with just making the playoffs for a few years. The Eastern Conference is all over the place, so automatically you're in the top four or five teams. With that team you have, they're in the top four to five teams. You know, you got Miami, Boston, New York. I don't know what's up with Indiana. If they're going to match to everything I'm hearing, they're not. So I don't know. So the Nets are right there. I'm very intrigued because I've been very hard on D. Williams. I feel like he hasn't always showed me that he's a winner. And I don't want people to take that the wrong way, but when he was playing with New Jersey, they were terrible. When he came there, they were marginally better. And I've literally seen him check out certain times. So now that he has a team, you got a good coach in Avery Johnson, I need to see how well you guys play, because you should be 100% better than you were. So, once again, you know, I can't make any calls. I think you're a good team. I don't think you're the best team in New York. You know, the reports are already going crazy saying that. I don't put you past the Knicks, and I'm not even trying to be biased. Just even on paper, I just don't think you're better than the Knicks. But I do think you are a respectable team, and you'll be exciting to watch. So that's where I stand with the deal. I just think that I felt like the thing is, I don't know who Gerald Wallace's agent is, but nobody in NBA was talking about Gerald Wallace. So they outbid themselves, if you will. You know. So I don't know who their bidding is.
All right, whoever his agent is, give me a call. Call me. Here's the thing about the Nets. You're right. They're all over the place. The Nets are vanilla sky. They're vanilla sky, really.
Yeah.
I have no problem. Obviously, D. Will was a no-brainer. You had to have that marquee player. He is a max caliber player in terms of his skill set. Joe Johnson thing was done intended to keep D. Will. There's no question in my mind that move had to be made for them to keep D. Will happy and keep D. Will signing there. The move that's going to bury them for championship perspective and for the future is the aforementioned Gerald Wallace. Gerald Wallace is a 31 years old who is dependent on athleticism and who has a habit. His nickname is Crash. Okay, he has a habit of just throwing his body around. And, yes, it's great when he's 25, but on the other side of 30, you know, Gerald Wallace is going to be, you know, a lot of times you'll be sitting on the bench in a suit.
Right.
Giving him $40 million, number one, it's overpaid by far. Number two, it completely takes you out of the Dwight Howard sweepstakes from the standpoint of, first of all, under the new collective bargaining agreement, you cannot have three maximum players. They have two.
Right.
Okay.
You cannot. It doesn't happen. Miami. The reason why Miami was able to get away with it because those guys all took small incremental pay cuts. That's why they got away with it.
Yep.
So, if you take Gerald Wallace's contract away, then you would be able to have Joe Johnson, Dwight Howard, and D. Will. If you took Gerald Wallace's contract away, Dwight Howard can tell you he's not taking $25 million less or $30 million less to play for the Nets. It's not going to happen. Because, well, first of all, Orlando's not going to make that trade. They're not going to deal with the Nets. They're not going to make that trade. The second thing is Dwight Howard has basically said that, look, you know, worst comes to worst, I'll play the year out and then sign with the Nets as a free agent. He's not taking $75 million versus
I mean, let's just put it out there. Let's just put it out there real quick. Dwight Howard's stupid.
He's not the
none of this would have happened if he would just been a free agent. He caused all of this mess for no reason. And he's going to end up nowhere. The problem I had with Dwight Howard, someone lying to him, I know he talked to his mother, whoever, but he thinks he has power. For him to sit up here and say he's the only team he'll go to, nobody cares what you think he'll do. Okay? You get traded in Bobcats right now, you can't do nothing about that. So, right now, you need to just be trying to be as cordial and polite to Orlando management as you see what happened with Phoenix. They didn't like the Lakers, but they did it out of respect for Steve Nash and a good deal. Do you really possibly, anywhere in your mind, think that Orlando's going to look out for your best interest at this point? I mean, like, the kid continues to put his foot in his mouth. I wish he would just shut up. Please. Because someone has told
him
wrong.
There's no way the Nets, Orlando is trading him to the Nets. I mean, it's just not. It's not going to happen. I mean, he can want to play for the Nets all he wants. It's nowhere near being the best deal. I mean, there's so many different deals that they can get out there. And to my listening audience, I will tell you, other than the Lakers, I will tell you the second team that should go after Dwight Howard. I'm gonna save it, you know, for a little bit later, but I will tell you the second team. You will be surprised when I say this, but there's a second team that I think should go after Dwight Howard that would just change the whole complexion of the NBA. But I don't know where he's getting his advice from. Again, the Nets right now have no cap flexibility whatsoever. I mean, they have none. They have none with those contracts. So, you know, they're probably a 50-win team, second-round team right now. Again, the most important thing, forget about putting championships aside, the most important thing for them was to, and the big fish, obviously, was Deron Williams. He will sell tickets.
Yep.
You got Joe Johnson as a secondary player. Fine. You can sell to your fan base, hey, we gave Joe Wallace $40 million, even though we shouldn't have. But you're just sending that message, we're trying to win. And that makes a difference in sports. When even when you spend your money not wisely, but it does make a difference when your fan base sees you spending money, making an effort, you know, so I think that, you know, people will be excited about the whole, you know, Brooklyn thing and, you know, the rivalry with the Knicks and that whole bit and that, you know, the people have some fun with that. So I didn't have a problem with the Joe Johnson, Deron Williams, but the Gerald Wallace thing. It just baffled me. I'm like, the Nets actually, you know, that whole trade was done. The Nets actually could have had Harrison Barnes.
Yeah.
Could have had Harrison Barnes on the cheap, and probably you can make a case that Harrison Barnes would be a better player.
Yeah.
So that trade turned out to be just insane to me.
I mean, like I said, the last 2.5 years, and you know, to hear so much about this Russian billionaire, we talk about him like he's an urban legend, but the Knicks just look desperate. That's all I can say. The last few years, the moves that they have done, you know, just been very, very desperate. Even giving up their favors and all of those draft picks, the way, without knowing that Dee Williams was going to stay. You know, they gamble a lot, and you know, sometimes that type of thinking, a strategy is going to really bites you in the butt, and that's what that Darryl Wiles contract is. I mean, yeah, you'll be happy this year. You'll make it through the year. But then he gets older. His contract is getting older. You know what I mean? The contract's still there for 4 years. So, I don't know. But, you know, like I said, the Nets, to the New Jersey, I mean, Brooklyn fans out there, you'll be good enough to make the playoffs. And they'll have a, you know, the media is going to paint it out to be a rivalry anyway. So, you know, New York versus New York, it will be fun and entertaining for the fans. I'm looking forward to it. I'm actually glad the Nets will be relevant again. So, I'm looking forward to it. But, like you say,
how about speaking just, of New York and the trades a little bit, just moving on to the Knicks, and I know you're thirsty to get to
what
the Knicks have done. Knicks don't get Steve Nash. They don't get Steve Nash. They end up with Jason Kidd. They is looking more and more like they're going to match the offer sheet that Houston signed Jeremy Lin for $31 million. The Knicks, as we all know, don't care about a luxury tax. That might as well be like that doesn't exist. They print money at Madison Square Garden, so they'll, you know, it makes perfect sense. You sign Jason Kidd, tutor Jeremy Lin, and go from there. What do you think about the Knicks and what they did with the old Jason Kidd thing? Kidd threw everybody off guard, by the way, because they made it sound like the Dallas deal was done. So how surprised were you by that?
I was completely shocked, but ecstatic at the same time. You know, going into offseason, of course you want to continue to strengthen your bench as a Knicks fan, strengthen the bench, focus on defense. But our number one concern was a point guard. Let me talk about the point guard situation in New York real quick, because I'm just going to talk to all the haters out there who are talking about Jason Kidd's 50, look at his numbers last year. Last year, I would agree with you. We brought in Baron Davis to be the senior lead point guard. Old Baron Davis. Messed up back Baron Davis. Herniated this Baron Davis. We're not thinking like that this time. Jason Kidd came to be more of a mentor. This was one of the smartest deals the Knicks have done in a long way, and in a long time. And I'm actually, it's a breath of fresh air, because normally we just go for the big names. And we were trying to get Steve Nash. Now, I'm on record that I was never for the Steve Nash sign and trade, Kevin O'Shumpert. I just didn't want to do that. And I'm completely content with Jason Kidd playing 15, 20 minutes a game, helping Lin out. Mind you, he also reunites with Chandler. Now we have two people with ranks and leadership. I just feel like it was a low-risk, high-reward situation. I mean, someone told me, I was talking to someone earlier about his numbers, 7 points, 5 assists last year, whatever. Jason Kidd is a point in his career where the box score is not going to tell the story of what he does for the team. And let me just say something about these numbers real quick. His numbers were down last year, and I don't think it was just because he's older. Let me paint a scenario for you real quick. Yeah, he's getting older, but your MVP comes to camp out of shape. Your owner gives away your defensive stopper and your backup point guard in Barea and another valuable piece of Stevenson. It basically says, we're taking a year off. So, in all fairness to Jason Kidd, his numbers are very misleading last year. I'm not saying he's going to come in average 15 and 10. We're not looking for that. But I feel like he's motivated. When they had a little press clip from him, he said, I felt like they're in a better position to win, and I can help this team. So he envisioned something. It was not about the money. You know, Dallas and the Knicks had the same exact deal on the table. But he felt that we have more pieces. So knowing that he's comfortable doing this, like you said, I do believe that Knicks will have no problem matching the deal for Jeremy Lin. I just think it was one of the few times the Knicks have made a smart move in a while. And either way, I still got Miami coming out the East. But are we better off than we were last year when we had Baron Davis and Mike Bibby? Definitely. And I don't think anybody can argue that. So I think the Knicks are in a good position, because the thing about Jeremy Lin, you know, once everyone calms down from the Lin sanity, you really have a very small area to assess him. He played about 30 games, maybe. It did look great in all of them. So it's a great story But the jury's still out. And I'm not trying to be a pessimist, but I don't know exactly what Lynn is. So I don't want to go crazy paying him, and I don't want to just be like, okay, it's Lynn and nothing, you know. We still need him to take these baby steps. He has to understand. D'Antoni messed his head up thinking he was the man. We need to, first of all, let's get rid of that thought. You're not the man, but you are a piece to the puzzle. And I just think that the most that Jason Kidd does for the team is his effect that he can have on the overall team as far as a leader, and also his ability to help and nurture Jeremy Lin's career.
It was a perfect move. I mean, let's be honest. Like you said, you're not trading anything. You're not giving up anything. 3 years, $9 million, you know, come on. It's not a big deal. Jason Kidd is one of the great leaders that the game has ever seen. I mean, he's that. I never look at his stats. The last 3 or 4 years, you don't look at his stats. You look at, you know, first of all, he's gotten to a point to where he's almost a borderline drop-dead three-point shooter, spot-up shooter. So you don't leave Jason Kidd open with three-point range. He's going to kill you. So he's improved his shot to that level. What he'll do for that locker room can't be underestimated. What he'll do for Jeremy Lin cannot be underestimated. It just can't. You're talking about one of the great point guards of all time. And to where, and you have him, Lin, and then when Shumpert gets back, you know, nobody can complain about this. I don't see what you can complain about this move for. Not you, but any New York Knicks fan.
Right.
Baron Davis is no comparison. It's none. Even Baron, there's zero comparison. Baron Davis, first of all, is not even a pure point guard as far
right.
as running a team. Baron Davis was always a scoring point guard who just had ridiculous athleticism. But as far as running a team and directing traffic, that was never Baron Davis. So
right.
Baron Davis never made other people better. Jason Kidd makes other people better. He just can't do it. He can only do it for like 15 to 20 minutes instead of doing it for 35 to 40. Still makes
right.
people better because he still can shoot. He still is a great passer. He can still post up. And he still is a tough defensive player when the game slows down.
Yep.
I watched him guard Kobe last year in key spots. When the game was, if the game is slow, he gets to a half-court game. Now, he can't stay in front of Derrick Rose, Russell Westbrook. Who can? Okay. But, you know, you can put him on a two-guard. You can put him on a slower point guard. And, again, this guy, I keep harping the intelligence and the locker room presence. And that's something that the Knicks have not had for about a decade. He will calm a locker room down. He has a ring, and he has, you know, he's Jason Kidd. Like you, Stoudemire, Carmelo, he can tell them basically, you know, shut up.
You're bringing in a
legendary player right here. And again, I still think he has enough left in the tank to help a team like the Knicks. This will go down as one of the underrated moves of this offseason, because people are going to look at it and say, oh, old guy, you know, slow. I thought that this was a steal from my standpoint. I'm not even a Knicks fan. I thought this was a steal. And, whatever reason he did it, maybe he thinks Dallas is a sinking ship, whatever. That's their problem. But, I love the move. And I'll see, again, 3 years, $9 million. Is the money, don't even look at the money aspect. I heard somebody say, well, a point guard's never been 41. And, you know, forget his age. You're not, Jason Kidd hasn't been athletic in about 7 to 8 years. So, let's be real. He's not dunking on it. I can't remember the last time he dunked. He ain't dunked in a decade. So, you're not talking about athleticism with him.
And that's the thing, too, like, to your point, it's the same thing with Steve Nash. Neither one of these people, when you talk about age, will beat you in athleticism. So that really has nothing to do with their game. The one other thing I'll add about Jason Kidd, why this is such a smart and calculated move, the East Coast, if you watch the basketball game and you watch the NBA, it's a different monster. It's a lot slower. It's a lot more choppy. It's not as free-flowing as the West Coast offense. So it actually is in his favor as far as the speed of the game. the East Coast basketball slows the ball down now, with the exception of Miami, who's just running gun, passing lanes. This will actually do him and his body a lot better to be in the East Coast and not have to deal with the same type of point guards that he'll be facing if he stays in the West Coast. And like you said, he's still a great half-court defender. Once Shumpert comes back, he automatically takes the best athlete on the team anyway to D up. So it was just a no-brainer. $3 billion a year, you can't really beat it. It's just, you know, like I said, it shocked me. It was very similar to the Laker deal where I just knew everyone's report saying he's going back to Dallas. I thought that was a done deal. Either Dallas or D. Williams, that's what he was following. But D. Williams went to the Nets. So, you know, the Knicks, they stuck one and stole one right here. So I'm definitely looking forward to it.
I love the deal. I heard about it. I just knew he was going back to Dallas. And we're going to shift gears a little bit. We're going to take a quick 3-second station ID. This is the Cereal Corner Review. As always, if you're tired of hearing us talk, which I don't see how you could be, but if you want to chime in, call in at 347-215-6180. Cereal Corner Review featuring Chad Quinn. 15 minutes after the 8 o'clock hour.
This is the Cereal Corner Review featuring Chad Quinn and Rob Sapp.
Still waiting on Mr. Sapp, but he'll join us. He's going to join. I'm confident that Sapo will join the program and give a couple of thoughts on the free agency. Winners and losers of the free agency period, even though it's not over yet. And a couple of teams I want to zero in on as far as trying to figure out what they're doing, trying to figure out the plan, you know, what's the end game. And I thought the Lakers were going to be on this list. But, you know, what happened last night took them off this list. I'm going to begin, and you touched on it a little bit. I got to begin with the Dallas Mavericks. Now, the Dallas Mavericks had this grand plan after they won a championship last year that they could possibly land D. Will and Dwight Howard. And also, you know, now we forget, because everything that happened with David Stern and the Lakers, CP3 was scheduled to be a free agent this summer. So they had this grand plan to let Tyson Chandler go, they have a bunch of free agents, and they're putting all their eggs, in the, you know, again, the Deron Williams, Dwight Howard basket, more even Deron Williams, because he was from Dallas.
Right.
And so far, the big move has been? Signing, re-upping on Vince Carter. That's where Dallas fans at right now. Dallas is, they don't have Dragic, they don't have Nash. This has gotten so bad. They're looking at Ramon Sessions. Okay.
Yeah.
Looking at Ramon Sessions.
They might overpay him.
They're gonna overpay for somebody. You just can't do this. This is what you learn, and I was going to say this for the end of the program, but I'm going to just say it now. If you want to learn any lessons in free agency, you don't put all your eggs in one basket. You have to have a plan and a contingency plan. If things don't go, you know, you have to have multiple plans. You have to in free agency, because you will get burnt. And I don't care who you are. Unless you're the Lakers, I don't care who you are. Because the Lakers have a track record of making big moves. You can just look throughout the history, going back to Wilt Chamberlain and Kareem. That's what the Lakers check. That's what the Lakers do. So, you know, unless you're that level, there's only one franchise, basically, that has that kind of track record and not being caught out there. Dallas is looking just terrible right now. You know, Jason Terry, it seems like everybody's jumping ship. This is like everybody, like, look, I'm out of here. See ya. You know, Jason Terry goes to the Celtics. The Lamar Odom thing, you know, that blows up in their face, even though it looked good at the time, giving up that trade exception, which allowed the Lakers, by the way, to get Steve Nash.
So
that ended up working itself out for the Lakers. But, if I'm drinking the whiskey, I'm like, what's good? I mean, I'm saying to Mark Cuban, what are we doing here? What are we doing?
I mean, he wasn't motivated last year. Goodness, I don't know what he's gonna look like this year.
I I don't know what Dallas is has up their sleeve. I don't know. They don't have anything up their sleeve. Like you said, they're going to be one of these teams that's going to be overpaying for like a Ramon Sessions or like some of these other dudes who are going to be who are going to be basically should go for 10 cents on the dollar. They're going to be giving them 30 cents on the dollar.
Hello?
Yeah, no, I'm here. Go ahead.
I'm still in awe. It's funny. I think the most amusing thing to me is money truly can't buy everything. I mean, we always hear about Cuban, you know, wine and dine these players, buy them anything. It was almost a done deal, understood that he was getting D-Will. And even Howard, possibly. And to see this all blow up in his face when I will not think, not many people can argue that if you still had that same Dallas team that won the championship, you would have been in contention. I'm not saying you would have been, beat OKC, but you would have been right there with that team. And to blow that up and to literally get nothing in return, I mean, they were desperate for Jason Kidd, but there's two things that you have to do. And like you said it best, one, you have to have a contingency plan. I mean, New York, we're known for making dumb moves, but the last few years we had contingency plans. We were the first team to offer Joe Johnson a max deal when we were trying to get LeBron to come. He turned it down. We jumped on Stoudemire. Nobody else was going to get the money with his knees, but it worked out for us. But we had plans. The Dallas Mavericks remind me of the New Jersey Nets a year ago, when they were going all out for LeBron or whatever. They didn't get anything 2 years ago. They ended up signing Petro and Travis Outlaw to ridiculous amounts of money. Like, they just did a whole bunch of stupid things. And that's what the Mavericks are doing right now. So, number one, you have to have a contingency plan. Number two, you have to, I mean, look, we're in a league of superstars. You have to coddle your players' egos. You guys are going so hard at the D. Williams. You completely neglected Jason Terry and Jason Kidd. So you isolate them so they don't even feel like you want them. Jason Terry was on SportsCenter repeatedly last year. I'm trying to get an extension with Cuban, trying to see what he wants to do. And the way they played their hand was terrible. These people gave you a championship. There were certain games in the finals that you can't argue who the MVP was. It was Jason Terry in a few of those games. That third was ultimately the man. But Jason Terry was invaluable. And the way that you treated your players, I think it's easy for Jason Kidd to say, this is just a business. This ship is sinking. Let's move on. So it was shocking because it was assumed that he was signing with them. But in theory, it really wasn't shocking. Why would he sign with Dallas when he had to be the start point guard? And he said, I don't want to start anymore. Like, there was no reason for Jason Kidd to sign back with Dallas Mavericks unless just hang out because he likes the city, you know. So, I mean, I don't know. There's nothing. There's nothing the Mavericks can do to give him anything but an F for the offseason from me. I mean, it's just been horrible. You re-sign Vince. If anything, why don't you offer Jason Terry the money? Why do you go and get Vince Carter again? That just blew my mind. Let him walk. Let Vince Carter walk. Right. It makes no sense. So I'm just laughing right now. I'm just laughing because I'm sure Cuban is, like any other rich guy, just red right now. They're just about to blow up on everybody. He'll end up blocking about it somehow and blaming the players. But, Dallas gets
an
F for me.
Here's the bottom line. This just crossed my mind as you were talking. I think Dallas, what happened to Dallas is they outthought themselves. I think that when you have a championship team, and we talked about it, and we'll get to the Celtics, and they had to get them. They were the anti-Celtics. Yeah. You have a championship team, you ride it out until there are no wheels. Forget about the wheels falling out. You ride it out until no wheels. There are no wheels. You should have re-signed Tyson Chandler. And you could have, again, you could have easily
yep.
re-signed Jason Terry. And, you know, and add on incrementally for that, and add here a couple pieces there, whatever, small pieces. You won a championship last year. You know, you make it. They make it seem like it, they almost demean their own championship. Like, yo, we was lucky to get this one, so we're not going to take a chance. And you know, this was a fluke. I mean, that's what you tell your fan base, and that's what you tell the rest of the world. This was basically a fluke that we're not good enough to defend our championship. We're thinking about 2012, 13, 14. Forget about you don't think like that in the NBA. You don't think like that in the NBA unless your team is just unless you're just a horrible team. When you have Dirk Nowitzki on your team, a guy, a future Hall of Famer, a guy who's still, you know, still legitimately one of the top 7 or 8 players in the league. Came in one of the top 5 players in the league in terms of after the finals, you milked that till it can't be milked anymore. And they outthought themselves. And I don't want to hear this thing about luxury tax. Mark Cuban's a billionaire. When have they ever cared about the luxury tax? Now they care about the luxury tax? You throw your fans off.
I feel bad for the Mavericks, man. The best way to describe the Mavericks in this whole situation is they are the difference between coming from money and new money. So to explain that analogy, but the coming from money, those are the Lakers, the Celtics of the league. When they're dynasties, they're used to winning. To your point, this new money mentality, y'all act like y'all should even got this. So you didn't know how to operate like champions when you didn't have it. And I said this to on your show a while back, but I was astonished by Dirk Nowitzki being out of shape. Never. In my 31 years, or I'll say, 25 years of watching sports like this, basketball in particular, I've heard of a player taking off for being out of shape. He's sitting out 4 games to rest because he's not in basketball shape in the middle of the season. I mean, are you serious? The reigning MVP, the finals MVP, and I think that Cuban let them take the year off. They said, okay, this is what he's doing. You don't take a year off when you win. And you don't take a year off when you win with older players. Dirk was in the latter years of his prime, but still somewhat prime. Jason Kidd and Jason Terry, they're getting up there. You can't tell me just to wait for something that we don't even know is definite. Like, we all know it's illegal, but please, get some backdoor evidence that D. Williams is signing with you. That is the only way you do what you did. If you knew for certain that Howard and Dewey were coming, then I say, you know what? Do whatever you got to do. Take 2 years off if that's the case. But you did. You gambled and you lost, and now you can't even pick up the pieces. And I think to show you how asinine they are, I don't even know why y'all still offering Jason Kidd money. Honestly, I mean, it was like that's not saving face. You don't need to get no older. So let J. Kidd walk. Don't even be mad that he went to the Knicks. You need to focus on youth and trying to see if you can surround Dirk with anything to still compete for the playoff spots.
Well, frankly, Jason Kidd did them a favor. Jason Kidd did them a favor. To add another old person to that current team is pointless. And Jason Kidd, it just shows you how far they've fallen, that Jason Kidd thought that he would have a better chance with the Knicks in terms of winning than going back to Dallas. So that just shows you, you know, and maybe Jason Kidd was a little ticked off based on the fact that they had the whole D-Will thing. So, but, you know, whatever with that. But that just shows you how far, you know, that they have fallen as far as in terms of in his eyes, that he would go with the Knicks even before he signs with a team that, you know, won the championship or organization, because they're not the same team, organization, that won the championship. They, you know, again, I said they just outthought themselves. And again, if I was Dirk, I'd be demanding a trade. If anybody has a right to demand a trade right now, I know he came in last season out of shape. But if anybody has a right to demand a trade right now, I'm Dirk Nowitzki. I brought you a championship, and this is what, you know, this is what interns we do. This, you know, I'm not getting any younger. You want to waste a year. You basically wasted a year when you said you were getting rid of Tyson Chandler. You wasted a year. you wasted a year of my career, one of my prime, end of my prime years. You know, that doesn't happen, like you said, with the L.A. and Boston. It doesn't happen. You think Kobe Bryant going to let the Lakers waste a year?
Yeah.
It's not going to happen. That's why he did the Steve Nash thing.
Yeah.
That's why you see Boston doing what they're doing. It's not, you know, you just don't, you have a chance to win a championship or even compete for a championship. Even compete for a championship because LeBron, Dwayne Wade could twist their ankles. You could just be right there to pick up the pieces. You don't know. If you're in a position where you can compete for a championship and be a contender, that's all you can ask for. There's no automatics in the NBA. It's only who wins, basically. You got teams that are favorite, but, you know, injuries happen, things, you know, crazy things can happen. So if you're contending, to me, that's good enough. That's good enough, just putting yourself in a position to win. And I've never seen a team, after they won a championship in any sport in recent memory, and I've never seen a team basically concede the next year because of what money or because of, you know, we have this grand plan. Like, no, your plan should be to defend your championship.
Yeah.
So I don't get, again, Cuban, I don't get, they, you know, they look smart the year before with some of the moves they made and with Tyson Chandler and things of that nature, but they almost take away from that championship. They almost really just, like, they, you almost forget that they won the championship.
Yeah.
Considering where they're at right now, franchise. They're a joke right now.
It's just sad. Now, I don't know if you were going to go to any other teams.
Oh, the flip side right now, we're going to do the flip side of that.
Okay.
Side Dallas, and in terms of what's going on with the Boston Celtics. The Boston Celtics have decided to say, basically, the hell with all you experts who say that we're old and we should break the team up. Kevin Garnett, the big piece, falls in place. He doesn't retire, signs a 3-year deal. Then they go out there and get Jason Terry. They're going to re-sign. All indications point to them re-signing Jeff Green. Avery Bradley will be back. They draft Sullinger. Even though I'm not a Sullinger fan, get him at 22nd. I have no problem with that whatsoever. He can start right away. Fab Melo is a project, but again, 7 feet. They're looking good right now. And, you know, who cares about Ray Allen if you're Boston Celtics? I could care less. If you're the Celtics, you know what, Ray? Listen, we offered you two years, $12 million. You know what? We might even take that off the table.
Yeah.
You don't act right.
Yeah.
Your choice is just eliminate the Clippers. It's basically between Miami and Boston. I'll get to the other free agents and Ray Allen, but I like what Boston is doing. I think Boston is getting right now. Boston is the second best team in the East. The second best team in the East, to me,
easily. Yeah.
You know, Boston. You can disagree, you know, we can disagree and argue about this as far as, you know, the fans, in terms of, you know, they took Miami to game 7, and they did this with Ray Allen on a bad ankle, no Avery Bradley. So I think they feel like, you know, if they get some more, them getting some more offense, that they could possibly take out Miami. You know, they getting older, whatever. But this is what I'm talking about, just the mentality. Listen, we're in it to win it. We're in it, you know, we're going to milk this Garnett thing, Pierce. If Rondo ever gets a jump shot, like, look out. I mean, that could take him to even another level if that ever happens. So I love what Boston did. I'm never going to knock a team for trying to win. They're trying to win. How can you knock that? You go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if you mentioned this. I don't think you mentioned this, but they also signed. They agreed with Brandon Bass, Boston.
Perfect. Like, someone's just come off the bench. So.
Yeah, exactly. So they signed Brandon Bass. The only issue I have with Boston is, why are you pursuing Ray Allen? I don't get it. I think they're so caught up on this big three name. I don't know. Did anyone else like the playoffs?
I don't think they're chasing Ray Allen. I think the offer, I think the 2-year $12 million is on the table, but I'm not so sure that they're chasing him. I think they've kind of cooled down, and I believe that table that I believe that deal is on the table, but it's a tenuous offer. I think they're exploring other possibilities like O.J. Mayo and somebody
else. Right, that's what I was saying. I don't think
that offer is not as high. You know, with this Jason Terry signing, the Jason Terry signing changed the whole Ray Allen dynamic. Okay, that offer went from hot to cool. So
Ray Allen needs to...
Hold on. I'm sorry. I need to cut you off.
Yeah.
I need to cut you. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we are joined by Robert Stapp. He has made it. He survived the Metro. He joined the show.
I did.
Robert Stapp. What's going on there, Stapp?
Yeah. Nothing much. Finally made it home. It's been a long, long day.
Woo. We just glad.
Viewing audience wants to hear. That's a long day. That's what they call for.
Yep. So I heard you guys talking about Ray Allen. What was the topic?
Here's the thing. We're talking about we've done Nash, and we'll revisit that. We have plenty of time to revisit Nash, D. Will, and and those two big topics. But we were talking about the losers of the free agency period, winners and losers. We started off with the losers as being the Dallas Mavericks, who are kind of like the all dressed up with no place to go. You know, they put all their eggs in the T-Will, Dwight Howard basket, and they end up with nothing, not even Jason Kidd. they get turned down by Jason Kidd, so their big signing is Vince Carter. So we were talking about the winners as far as how team organizations should go, and the Boston Celtics, to me, by the moves that they made, you know, trying to win a championship, milking this big three, or milking this to their no wills. We get about the wills coming off to their no wills. I have no problem with that as a comparison to Dallas basically wasting a year after they won a championship and just basically cheating their fans and just conceding a year to go out this pipe dream for, now it looks like a pipe dream with D. Will and Dwight Howard. And I will say this for my listening audience, as Robert, we've been joined by Robert Stapp. Robert Stapp said a long time ago, when all this D. Will to Dallas stuff was hot, that he didn't believe that D. Will was signed with Dallas. So I give him credit for that.
Okay. Kudos.
Yeah, I mean,
kudos.
I have a couple of different things. I'm starting to have a less of a problem with the Celtics riding this thing till the wheels come off, because I see that they're also at the same time trying to somewhat build through the draft, you know, with the picks that are available to them. So it seems like they're trying to infuse young talent as at the same time as keeping some of their old talent, which is cool. Now, the reason that Dallas is the big loser is because they tried to cheat. Not only did they not try to get younger, but they just thought they could find their way right back into the championship picture. And so by them not even thinking about, oh, we're going to do some creative drafting or whatever, they cheated themselves, and that's why they're the big loser. So I still have a little bit of a problem with the Celtics. I'm not all the way there.
I have zero problem with the Celtics, because I feel like, and we discussed this earlier in the show, when you think about the history of the NBA, okay, and dynasties and teams that won championships, and then when that's over with and they try to rebuild, look how long it takes or it has taken them to rebuild. I'll give you three prime examples. Utah, who didn't win a championship, but were championship caliber, they've still been rebuilding ever since Malone and Stockton left, or retired and left. The Celtics, 86, you know, took them 22 years to get back to that level. It's 20 years to get back to that level of competing for a championship. And the Bulls, you know, kicked Jordan and Pippen out, say organizations win championship, took them basically the better part of a decade to get in contention with them. It is only, more than any other sport, it is almost impossible, not impossible, but it is the most difficult out of any other sport to rebuild in the NBA. So to me, if you milk that championship contending status, too, it can't be built anymore, as far as I'm concerned.
But they're not going to win a championship.
How do you know? Well, I mean, they were one game away from the NBA Finals. and they're adding, they're one game away from the NBA Finals, and they're adding Jason
that,
Terry.
That spoke more, and you know this too. That spoke more to the Miami Heat than the Boston Celtics.
Listen, they're adding Jason Terry. They're getting a healthy Avery Bradley back. Jeff Green drafted Jared Sullinger, re-signed Brandon Bass. So, like, it's not out of the realms of possibility that they can go out there and compete and possibly win a championship.
Like I said, I'm on the fence both ways. I don't have a problem at all with the way Boston's moving. The only issue I had, and it was a very minor issue, is I guess they're doing it just to save face of Ray Allen, but just stop playing around. Offer that money to O.J. Mayo. I mean, one thing, like Barkley always say, you know, Father Time doesn't lose. He's undefeated. Last time I saw Ray Allen, he was missing foul shots and limping in the game. So it's like when you get older, you don't bounce back as quickly. Now, I'm not saying he's done and he's over, but he's definitely lost a step. Avery Bradley will be the start, too. Now you have Jason Terry. So you don't need Ray Allen as much. I think an O.J. Mayo just built into the mix. Now, to the argument you two are having about their chances, they are clearly the number two team in the Eastern Conference. And although the Miami still had their favorites go back, I still don't know about Dwayne Wade. Like, they're one injury away of Boston being the best team. So it's like, I feel like what they're doing is smart enough to just keep rolling the dice until the wheels fall off. And I think, to your point when you were talking about Dallas, they were just trying to build through the, through free agency. Before that, they had gave up on rolling the dice on what they had. They had Tyson Chandler and Barea.
Yeah.
So I feel like if they had done what the Boston did, they still would have been in contention to compete. They took themselves out. You know, when I see old Kevin Garnett, He standing up and being the third best player on the court besides LeBron, Rondo, and then Garnett, and then Wade. I'm saying, okay, let's see where this can go. You know, I think that not only did he pick what they picked up in the draft, but his leadership and being able to mentor Sullinger and Melo. And Melo, look, I don't ever think he's going to be a great pro. I don't think he's going to be a star power forward center, but he fit this system so well because he will be a defensive stopper. He'll be a defensive stopper with Boston. So I think it's kind of like with football, whereas in the NBA, defense will always keep you in games. You know what I mean? So I always give him a chance because of that team they have. Boston always proves me wrong, just like the San Antonio Spurs did, because they are resilient. They find a way to be where they should not be. So it wouldn't be too far-fetched for me to see them in the finals. But I still favor Miami. But look, Wade, please drain your knee and just chill out this summer. Drink some water. Just hang out. Because you got old quick. I don't know what he got. I don't know if he got Lyme disease. I don't know what's going on with Dwayne Wade. But he just looks very old to be 30 years old. So I don't know.
And here's what I'll say, too, about Boston. Yes, they are old. We know how old they are. But with the moves they've done, they've also become extremely deep. I'm going to give you their starting lineup, their projected starting lineup. I'm assuming when Avery Bradley gets healthy. They have Rondo, Avery Bradley, Paul Pierce, Brandon Bass, Kevin Garnett. Off the bench, you'll have Jeff Green. You'll have Jeff Green, presumably either Ray Allen or O.J. Mayo. They'll get one of them. Okay, Jason Terry. Sean Williams, who you forget about, they signed him. That was a nice pickup.
Yeah.
Sullinger, Melo. I mean, they have depth. They have quality depth, and they still have the opportunity to re-sign. I don't think they will, but Keon Doolittle, they get him on the team. Nobody's gonna be after him.
Yeah.
So they're very deep.
Let me just be clear. For what I'm hearing, I should pencil the Boston Celtics in for a championship.
No, that's not what they're
saying. No, this is what you're saying. No, this is where how you're missing the point.
I'm just trying to, you know, figure it out.
Where you're missing the point. This is where you're missing the point. No, you shouldn't piss on them for the championship. My point is, from a fan's perspective, all you can ask for is your team to be in contention with a shot, with a chance to win as a fan. There's no such thing as automatic championship. That's all you can ask for as a fan, to be in contention. You don't win every, you know, golfers don't win every tournament. If they're in contention, they're going to be happy that they're in contention in that final round. So the Celtics are clearly in contention. And you can't deny that, the fact that they are. If you're the second in the East, I can pencil them in the Eastern Conference Finals right now. I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
If I can, if you start off the season where you can pencil them in the Eastern Conference Finals, then to me, I'll take that. I'll take that and see what happens after that. Yeah, fine.
Yeah.
I don't see how if you're a fan of a team, not saying that you're a Southern fan, but if you're a fan of a team and somebody's going to tell me my team is the second best team in the conference and they're going to go to the conference championship, I don't see how you take that. I don't see how you can knock that. I don't understand it. They are a legitimate championship contender. Are they going to win it? Chances are they're probably not, but that's not even the point. The point is they have an opportunity to win it.
Yeah.
That's where you're missing the point. They have an opportunity to win it. No, they're not as good as Miami. They're not as good as Oklahoma City. We'll forget about OKC in another conference. But they have an opportunity. And like, you know, Chad mentioned, Wade twisted the ankle. Bosh twist. It's not out of the realms. We saw all the injuries happen this year. I know the season was, you know, you had this shortened season, but injuries could pop up. Anything could happen. But
I mean,
the bottom line,
example was Derrick Rose.
They're contending. Right, Derrick Rose. Yeah, I mean, but the bottom line is anything, you know, they right now are a legit championship contender. They have if I'm mentioning teams who I feel that can win a championship and who have a roster built to win a championship, they are amongst the 3 or 4 teams that I was mentioning. And it's only 3 or 4. There's only a handful of teams out of the 30 teams that can say that. So, you know, I think if I'm a Celtic fan, I would be happy about the moves they made. And again, the big piece of it was Kevin Garnett resigning. What do
go
you
ahead,
want
Chad, because I do have a rebuttal to that. But go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, I don't have much to add. I'll let you two go back with a rebuttal. It's just simply, to Cyril's point, if you're considered the second best team in your conference, that's good enough. And the reason I say this, too, besides what they have, I'm looking at the Eastern Conference and what other teams don't have. You got the Bulls, who don't think that Rose will even be back possibly this season. You know, just talk about the stronger teams. Orlando is completely wherever in La La Land. The Sixers might not sign Lou Williams and Elton Brand. They got their own issues. So this Indiana don't know if they're going to get Roy Hibbert back because, you know, he signed with Portland possibly. And then the Knicks and the Nets, we got to see them play. So the thing is, the Eastern Conference is all over the place. So besides you being deep, you're also consistent. You have these veterans who have been together and know each other, and you can't underestimate that. Now, of course, like I said before, I do have Miami going back. I actually have OKC going back, too. But you still got to play the games. You know, it's a long season. I think Doc Rivers is a master, just like Popovich, at knowing his players and knowing how to minimize their minutes and get the most out of it. So I think Boston's in the right place. I think that they need to. The only thing I said once again was keep the big three, but change who's in the big three. The big three is Garnett, Pierce, and Rondo. So Ray Allen, it was great. We had fun. We got to the finals twice. But don't even waste, because I think Ray Allen, he might be smart enough to realize, like, think about this with Ray Allen. The Clippers just signed Chauncey Billups and Crawford. They canceled his trip. They canceled Ray Allen's trip. If Ray Allen's smart, you don't play around. Who got to deal with their pay? Well, I'm taking. I'm signing my name tomorrow. Because, I mean, someone's going to wake up and say, yo, Nick Young is out there. O.J. Mayo is out there. Now, we know they're not Ray Allen, but they sure are younger and they can shoot. Like, I don't even see why we caught up on Ray Allen's name so much. I just don't get it. Like, let him go. So he's perfect for Miami needs, because Miami needs nothing but spot-up shooters. You know, So he ideally fits in Miami. Go to Miami. Boston, do not waste your time anymore. You did it, the PR move, and you really fought for him. You know, you did everything you're supposed to do. But please kill that Big 3 dream. It's done. It's done.
All right, so we're going to take a station break. Yeah. I'm sorry. We're going to take a station break. This is the Cyril Quinn Review.
This is the Cyril Quinn Review featuring Chad Quinn and Rob Sapp.
Rob is here.
Later.
All right, go ahead, Rob. You want the rebuke?
Oh, yeah. Okay. The one thing that I've heard time and time again is if they're healthy, year after year, I've heard it with the Celtics. And you're telling me that Garnett's a year older, Paul Pierce is a year older. Yeah, I could even maybe agree with you, and I'm still not even there totally in terms of you can pencil them in for the Eastern Conference Finals as they are constructed right now. But it just feels so unlikely to me that Garnett and Pierce are going to survive not only significant chunks of the season, but also survive the playoffs, playing at a level anywhere near where they need to play in order to be in the playoffs. I'm not totally down on the Celtics because I do like how they're infusing different types of talent and younger talent in it with them, but it still does feel like a little bit of riding that to the wheels fall off, and the wheels are going to fall off early, particularly with Garnett. That's my rebuttal.
I'll say this. I would have to see the wheels fall off, and I don't know what the alternative is. I'm not starting over when, like you said, the Eastern Conference is in the current state. If the Eastern Conference had one or two good teams, if the Bulls were the Bulls, if Orlando was Orlando, and Indiana kept Hilbert, if the Eastern Conference was like two or three teams stronger, I would be like, okay, it's time to rebuild. We can't compete with these three or four teams, and we're a middle of the pack team to where we're going to be, you know, fifth seed, sixth seed, out first round. When you tell me that they are clearly the second best team in the Eastern Conference, and you tell me that despite our age, we are deep enough to, you know, rest our players. I mean, they can go out there and rest Garnett, you know, three games and four nights, four games and five nights, Pierce. They're deep enough to where they can rest their players over the course of an 82-game season. They will play a career low in minutes next year. The Pierce, Garnett, if Allen is on the team or not, because they have enough young talent on that team to do that, and they're deep enough to do that. And the conference is so bad that they won't need all four of them, three of them clicking anyway to beat the half those teams or the majority of those teams.
I mean, the conference is so bad. It doesn't even matter where they are. They're actually the opposite but the same as the Spurs because they're both old. Every year we write the Spurs off. You did last year, and you were right. But the Spurs look great. Yeah, you were right for not writing them off. But I said they were old. I had your argument last year with the Spurs. I said they're too old with Tony Parker, Ginobili, and Duncan.
What?
Time and time, when these teams continue to prove me wrong, at their point, you have to say, I'm going to be a believer until you actually do fall off. And the Spurs actually go through the whole season looking like the best team and then fall off at the end. Celtics go through the whole season like, oh, are they going to make the playoffs? Because as veterans, they know when to turn it on. They know how to cruise. They know how to cruise through the season and pick their spots. I think Boston could care less about seeding. They're really not worried about that. The only thing that they're concerned about is seeding is just making sure they don't have to play Miami in the first round. Other than that, they're cool. Just getting in the playoffs. Because on the East Coast, you're going to have eight teams because you got to have eight teams in the playoffs. But you're only going to have about two teams you really got to beat as far as competition for the championship. So that's why, I agree. You know, I have to agree with Cyril at this point. It's just, as long as Boston has a fighter's chance, a puncher's chance, like, they're fine. They're fine, you know. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. It's too tempting to start the rebuilding process.
That's how bad the East is. It's too tempting. I mean, it's too tempting not to, to like. You couldn't, as a GM, look at the East. I'm like, why are we rebuilding? What this team? Who can beat us other than Miami? If you're telling me I only have to beat one team to get to the finals, I'll take that any day of the week. More times than not, you gotta beat, you know, the most teams outside of the best, very best team, gotta beat at least two or three teams to get to the finals, quality teams. They only have to beat one team to get to the finals. One. You know, the rest of that team, I mean, the rest of that conference, like I said, the rest of that conference is so bad. And even the Sixers, I mean, you know, the Sixers have a number of question marks, even coming off a surprising season. Atlanta's not going to be as good. Who else? The Bulls, of course, we already talked about the Bulls. Orlando, of course, is going to be a joke. That conference is – Nets will be better, but they're not ready. They're not going to be ready to make that kind of run in the first year. Knicks will be improved, but push comes to shove, they have to get the Knicks in the big spot. I hate to say it, but it's true. So it's too tempting to keep the team together and start the rebuilding process right now. Normally, I thought they should start a rebuilding process before this year. I was on that boat there. They too old. What are they waiting for? But then I looked at the Eastern Conference after this year with the playoff run they had and with the Eastern Conference in its current state. I said, why? Why start the rebuilding process? I'm getting younger as far as adding. I mean, I'm adding depth to my team. This is the deepest that their team is going to be since they won the first championship. When they got, not the first championship, but 2008, 2009. This will be their deepest team since that year when they had like Tony Allen and P.J. Brown and guys like that. Eddie House.
I will give you credit on the conference thing. I agree with you. The conference is really, really weak. I'm just not feeling it for the Celtics. But I do understand. Like, I do understand it. I'm just not feeling it for the Celtics.
Okay. We agree to disagree.
As always,
as we did last year in San Antonio.
Right.
Did I say that already?
You did. So, you know, you're going against your own theory, which is not going to prove right for you. But whatever. You're right. I want to be Rob of 2012-13 season.
We have a couple other free agents who are not the big names that certainly that Deron Williams is, and you know Kevin Garnett was, that signed offer sheets. So I just want to get you guys' thoughts on that before I let Rob get caught up with the Nash and Deron Williams. Nicholas Batum was very, very good player, young 6'8 swing man, still only about 23, 22 years old, signed a 4-year, $50 million sheet with Minnesota. Roy Hibbert signed a 4-year, $58 million offer sheet with Portland. Eric Gordon signed a 4-year, $50 million offer sheet with Phoenix. And I have one guy I have to get to who's become a hot name, and I don't know why. I'll get to that in a minute. But what are we good about those for sheets? For those particular teams that they signed with, and also the particular teams that they leave if they don't match those offer sheets. And remember, people at home, there's a moratorium that doesn't start that's over the deals right now. Teams cannot, you know, sign anything until July 11th. After July 11th, a team has 3 days to either match or not match a particular offer sheets, and also teams could at that time sign their contracts. So just to keep that in mind.
Right.
So first, I think Hibbert is the most interesting one because, you know, I thought Indiana was on this youth movement. You know, he's a center, all-star center, even though in the Eastern Conference still had a very good year. 4 years, $58 million from Portland, and it doesn't look like Indiana's going to match. What are our thoughts about that?
Insane to me. I don't get that at all. It doesn't make any sense.
Not cut you off, but keep this in mind. Larry Bird, of course, they say resign. I think he was pushed out myself. of the front office, which I, for whatever reason, I don't know why, but Larry Bird's out, Donnie Walsh's back in, so I don't know what that had to do with it, but go ahead.
So Donnie Walsh hates talented big men? Is that what I'm supposed to take out of it? No, it still is insane to me. It just, I mean, like me and Chad were talking yesterday, I mean, as many bad contracts are being thrown out there, you don't want to sign a talented seven-footer? Doesn't make sense.
And that's not that contract, 4 years, $50 million, it's market value for a quality big man. Like, you know, I think that's a good contract, you know, considering his age and considering his potential. You know what I mean? People seem like he has a ceiling, like he's reached his ceiling. He's, you know, he's only 23, 24 years old. He's going to get better. So, yeah, I don't get what they're doing, what Indiana is doing by not matching. But who knows? They still could match the offer, but again, any indication that they're not going to match it is a bad sign.
It's kind of ridiculous. I don't hope they do. I hope they don't, actually. I hope Indiana doesn't. But I feel like they might at the end of the day, although I'm hearing reports saying that they're not going to. The thing that baffles me so much about it is he was one of the main reasons that Miami even struggled a little bit with you guys. So you take away him. He's also arguably the third or fourth best center in the league. He's one of the last old school type of back down centers you're going to find. Now, we don't know what his ceiling is, but it makes complete sense for Portland because not only is it market value, but they're doing this to keep Aldridge happy. You pair him with Aldridge, and that's kind of scary for that young talent to be together, that front court. So this move, it smells of anything. I mean, actually, it's a move that I would think Larry Bird would do because Larry Bird's been on record for wanting a whole white team. So I would expect this move from Larry Bird, actually. No disrespect to Larry Bird, you know. But it's just a little baffling. Like you said, you got this young team that could easily dispel your team on, look, We could have beat Miami. That could have been us in the finals. We just need a couple more years. We like OKC or the East. You know, you got a young team that's coming up together to even consider breaking that apart. But you give George Hill the money, which I feel like, you know, not to say he doesn't deserve it, but if anybody I'm taking care of, taking care of my big man first, I'd give him another point guard because he's not even a true point guard anyway. But I just don't get it. So we will see. If they really don't sign him, I will be, imagine that offer, I'll be shocked. Even if they had to overpay, you have to. You have to in that sense. And they would even be overpaying. So I just don't get that one at all.
You also have Nick Batum from signing an offer sheet from Minnesota, 4 years, $50 million. Again, 3-point shooter, very good defensive player, young, you know, 6'8". $50 million is a lot of money for him, and not, you know, he's a good player, still up and coming, but I don't know, like, I don't know if I can knock Portland for not matching that contract.
I love this move for Minnesota.
Minnesota,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, he's a little overpaid, but I'm a big Batum fan. He's just a great player. You know, he's a smart player. He doesn't ask much. He's a good character guy. You know, you both know I'm a big Adams fan. So I'm all with what Minnesota's doing over there to compliment Kevin Love and Rubio, all for that. For Portland not to match, I don't know, because they don't have a three. They don't have that three spot. And I feel like with the way the NBA is going, it's more on athleticism. I feel like in 2 years, there'll be no such thing as a center anymore. Your center's going to be 6'9 or 6'10 at best. You know, so you have the athletic big, so you need somebody that can guard about three positions, as we talked about before when we talked about Iman Shumpert. Got to throw the Knicks plug in there. But his defense is indispensable. He's a great defender, and I feel like sometimes you got to pay a little more. I mean, you think about all these crazy contracts out there. I don't think that that deal is the worst thing in the world to give it to him, Portland, to keep him his money. But he's on record saying that he really hopes they won't match because he hated it there. So with that said, oh, wow. If you really think it's that toxic, I do kind of understand why Portland would walk away from it.
I heard that he wasn't happy there. I totally get it, of course, from Minnesota's side. I think that's just a wonderful toy for Rubio to play with. And you're banking, you know, if you have a less than stellar point guard, then maybe that's not, maybe it doesn't make sense for you. But I think with Rubio there, that it just makes perfect sense to him on top of his defensive prowess. So I totally get it from there, and I had heard that about his feelings about Portland. So I think that probably played a factor into it, or is playing a factor.
Yeah, the contract, you mentioned a point about what he does. The contract, it does look a little steep, but like you said, you consider the fact that he can guard twos, threes, and even slower point guards. Those kind of guys, Tony Allen's of the world, Cephalosius, almost are going to be almost invaluable in some ways because of the game.
Jumper.
And so, yeah, that's a very good point. He can guard multiple positions. Plus he's a pretty good offensive player. Athletic,
yep.
Can shoot the three. And it's only about 23. He's only about 23. He's still very young. Came in the league at a young age, 23, 24 years old. He goes to Minnesota. You put him with Love. You put him with Rubio. They have a lot. That'd be a big piece for Minnesota to pick up. I love it from Minnesota's standpoint. Portland. Portland could want to rethink, that or have some type of plan B to replace him.
Maybe sign a trade even, like a sign a trade, because if you know you don't want to be there, at least, you know, try to get something for him, at least.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Eric Gordon is expected to, his offer is expected to be matched by New Orleans. Of course, he signed an offer sheet with Phoenix, 4 years, $58 million, so I think all three of us would be shocked if Eric Gordon is not a New Orleans Hornet next year.
Yeah.
I mentioned, Rob, again, Rob, matter of fact, we're going to let Rob get caught up on the those two big moves. What was your thought on Steve Nash, Rob?
Wow. Like, it came out of nowhere. But I really thought it was, you know, but that's what makes the Lakers the Lakers, you know. Like, you got two things. You got smart, business-savvy people. Don't go hard into the public arena and say this and say that and say this and that. And then you have, you know, a champion in Kobe that, for all the different things you can say about him, he's at least recognizing the deficiencies in his team and is going out there and advocating for his team to get him. And so what I read was that Kobe made a kind of like a last push to that, and that's what to see Kobe welcoming, that Kobe would be welcoming of Nash, that's what got it there. So, yeah, you know, big credit to the Laker organization, big credit to Kobe for allowing that to happen.
Yeah, I definitely, again, it's a great move. Nash is going to make everybody's job easier for the Lakers. Also gives them some options as well. You know, they give up nothing for him. And, you know, NBA draft picks don't mean anything outside the top three or lottery pick. So, you know, I love the move. They can still move Gasol. They can still move Andrew Bynum. I as a Laker fan, would go hard after Dwight Howard and dare Dwight Howard to walk away from the Laker organization. And I'm also about to give Robin, let you get to the Darren Williams move. But I would, if I'm the Lakers, I'm going hard after Dwight Howard.
Yeah, that was Chad's theory that, like, this opened the door now for the Lakers to get Howard. I think it's an interesting theory. I think that It would be something to see if out of all of what Dwight Howard has done, and I'm sure you guys have touched on that, but out of all of the wishy-washy back and forth and not knowing and saying this and all of that, it would be something if he ended up on the same team as Kobe Bryant and Steve Nash. Karma-wise, that shouldn't happen.
Yeah, he doesn't deserve it. He doesn't deserve it, but, you know, it could possibly happen. What are your thoughts on Deron Williams with the Nets and the Nets move, the moves that they made?
Yeah, like you said, I was never convinced that he was going to go to Dallas. That seemed like a super pipe dream to me. I don't know exactly what Cuban was thinking. I mean, I think you pointed it out. He was going to earn the most money with the Nets, and outside of abject, just disgust for the team, it was going to be pretty hard to turn away. What, $95 million, $100 million?
$98 million.
98 million, basically 100 million. It was going to be pretty hard to turn that money down. And I think also the organization, you know, they got the big sign for him for his birthday. You know, I think they made a really good full court press. I think the interesting move is with the Joe Johnson. Is it potential signing? Is it not like, oh,
no, it's
going, like, we're
no,
just,
it's
going
to happen.
We're
happen.
Just waiting for.
Yeah,
I think that's going to be the interesting piece to this. Like, you know, like, did Deron Williams just sign basically for the money and just kind of like the thought, like, okay, well, now we'll be a decent team. Like, that's kind of like where I'm at with the Joe Johnson. Like we talked about, I understood why it happened, and I understood why they went out and made that move, but I still think it's a horrible contract. I mean, I think everybody thinks it's a horrible contract. And Joe Johnson doesn't make you he doesn't make you that much better. So, D. Will was like, I was becoming like a super fan favorite of him. Now this is making me question, like, is he okay with just being average? Is he okay with just being kind of good?
I've been saying it.
Yes, you have been. Yep.
Well, I believe that Joe Johnson was a package deal with D. Will. I believe that happened because D. Will wanted him there, and the Nets basically were at a point to where they couldn't, you know, they had to make a big splash, and they had to keep D. Will. And in order to keep D. Will there, they, you know, made the trade for Joe Johnson.
Do you think it's a good fit, a good match? Like, does it make them better?
I think
yes, but
I think
to championship.
No, they're currently constructed. They're a 50-win team, but they're not a championship team. But you have to understand, we're talking about the Nets, and you have to understand that it's about, as much as it's even about winning right now, it's about putting fannies in seats, moving into a new arena. They had to make a big splash.
But can I ask you this question? Like, what was the Nets' attendance last year with D. Will? Okay, so you have D. Will. And like, if I'm a Nets fan, I don't know if I'm like, oh, Joe Johnson, now I got to go see the D. Will and Joe Johnson show. Like, doesn't do it for me.
So understand this. You're talking about New York, New Jersey, the Swamps versus Brooklyn. So Chad,
you better get him, Chad. Don't let him just talk about Jersey like that.
Those seats will be sold. Those seats in Brooklyn will be sold. New friend, new arena. Like, it's in Brooklyn, and
been sold without Joe Johnson or not. It's not Joe Johnson that's going to put people's butts in those seats.
The Joe Johnson fee happened because D. Will
wanting
Chad,
it to happen. Yes.
Listen, let me come in here real quick. This is because you guys are on the same page, but you're saying it differently. Okay. Joe Johnson is definitely has nothing to do with the ticket sales. Let's get that straight. He couldn't even sell in Atlanta. So he has nothing to do with the ticket sale. Like, just saying, Cyril, to your point, he was only brought in because D. Will handpicked him. So you get Joe Johnson, and then I'm fine. Now, to Rob's point, I think we're questioning two different things. Someone's questioning the direction of the Nets. The other person's questioning, I guess, Darren Williams' hunger to be more than mediocre or average. The Nets are going to basically do whatever they need to do to keep D. Williams and let him be the marquee player. So if D. Williams said, the only way I'm coming is if y'all go ahead and sign Chris Humphries again, that's who they just go all out to get Chris Humphries or whatever. Yeah. But he wanted Joe Johnson, and he took that terrible contract. But to Rob's point, I have to go back to question D. Will, because, you know, he already has a history, somewhat, not a big history. I don't want to use the word history, but he's already had a run-in with a coach, you know, in Utah, who was trying to do his third thing their way. Right now, because the Nets have been desperate for the last 3 years, it is the D. Will show. I think he's just in his room thinking of stupid stuff and saying, let me see if they'll do this. You know, because the Nets are just biting on anything he wants. I mean, to overpay Gerald Wallace like that, that's just ridiculously foolish. Ridiculously foolish. So the Nets are just doing whatever D. Will wants. Now that they have him signed, they might be like, yo, did we only sign Joe Johnson? Because I didn't think anybody would take Joe Johnson's contract. Joe Johnson's mother would sign him for that type of money for another 3 years or whatever he's getting. So, yes, the good thing is, as far as them selling seats, the main reason they're going to sell seats is because the Knicks tickets are too expensive. Okay, so Brooklyn's going to be fine. Those seats are going to be sold at cheaper price or whatever. And they have a nice little rivalry. The Knicks, we aren't too much better than the Nets right now, so we can easily split the series. I'm just saying, I think that we are a better team, but we might win 55 games, they'll win 50. It's not really noticeable, the difference. But my thing is, I feel like Steve Nash, you know, certain players are actually chasing rings. And maybe it's not a character thing. Maybe Steve Williams is like, I'm young. Maybe this team will grow into a championship team. But there's no urgency in the moves he's making. He wanted Dwight Howard, and that would have definitely been a championship team. But right now, I think he's just like, oh, man, I just want to get back to the playoffs. You know, and I think he's very content with that. So is that what you want out of your star? You know, it's a generational thing. It's a generational thing. I think Kobe, at the same age, you could tell him, like, yo, we're going to go ahead and sign Joe Johnson, and, you know, but I don't want to compare him to Kobe, but I'm just saying, like, but these players today, they just want to have fun and play with their friends. And you know what? Oh, if we get a chance to win a ring, then it's cool, too. So I just feel like that desire, you do have exceptions to the rule, i.e. Kevin Durant or Derrick Rose. You know, you have a few of those left. But for the most part, they just want to be cool. Look, you get D. Williams, this is the first time. Like, in Utah, he was kind of the man, but who's not the man in Utah? You know what I'm saying? I could have been the man in Utah. So this is the first time for him to actually be a marquee player. Brooklyn is going to have his face on every ad. I think he purposely got Joe Johnson because he didn't want to just talk. He wanted to distinguish himself as the number one lead. If we don't get Dwight Howard, it's definitely going to be my face on the ad because they're not going to put Gerald Wallace. They don't even have Gerald Wallace and Joe Johnson pictures in their computers to put it up posted. So I don't even know. I just think that the move was all over the place, and that's all over the place, and they just smell of desperation. But they'll be fun to watch.
The bottom line is the Nets are relevant again. And
right,
to me,
right.
I'm not gonna go from nobodies to championship. They had to take some steps. To me, if you want to knock them, and this is certainly against their organization, you can knock them for putting themselves in a position to where you allow a player who has not won a championship or even been to the finals to dictate the future of your franchise. So that's where you knock them. That's where you knock them from an organization standpoint.
Oh, I thought you said mock them, because I want to mock them off.
No, knock them. No, knock them. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, but the only thing I say about that to what you're saying is, right, you want to be relevant. If you were nobody to get booed and almost,
that's right, and
you're
moving to Brooklyn.
That's
the bottom line. They had to make a splash moving into a new venue, a new city, new arena. So they almost had to get Joe Johnson to appease.
Oh, no, they had to do what D. Williams wanted to do. I do not disagree with that at all. I just simply would have said to him kindly, "Sir, Your Majesty, is there anything else possibly we could do besides sign Joe Johnson? Because it's a horrible contract that doesn't end anytime soon." So it's not like, let's put it in perspective for a minute. The Nets have given up all types of draft picks since the Derek Favors move with Devin Harris. So they're not even in position to build for the future anytime soon.
Nope.
They don't even have flexibility.
No, you still see it now,
but 3 years later when Brooklyn is still starving, you can't do nothing.
No, they've done terrible. And we mentioned that, Rob, you wasn't here. They've taken themselves out of the Dwight Howard sweepstakes, because from the standpoint of they cannot, you know, in today's CBA, you cannot afford to have three max players. Miami did it, but all those guys took, as we all know, took salary pay cuts. So Dwight Howard would have to take about a $20-25 million pay cut to re-sign, to sign as a free agent after this season. And there's no way. I want
to
see it. And they might get lucky on how dumb he is. You might be right about that. But more than likely, it's not going to happen. And the bottom line is Orlando is not trading Dwight Howard for Brook Lopez and a whole bunch of other stuff. It's not going to happen. Orlando's going to make the best possible move that they can make, and that's certainly not dealing with New Jersey. And that's for two reasons. That is not the best move. Number two, to appease Dwight Howard after he just basically destroyed their organization as far as, you know, just with all these demands and what have you. So, and they've allowed him to do so, but they're not going to appease Dwight Howard. So I think that, you know, New Jersey's move is more short-term, short-sighted than anything. It's not long-term. It's more short-sighted. I mean, it's a desperate, like you said, it's a desperation immediate move. I understand it, and we have to understand who we're dealing with. It's the Nets.
Yeah.
You understand? Like, they're the reason why they're the Nets. expectations are not. I don't have high expectations. I'm glad. To me, for them to be relevant, I'm happy for the diehard Nets fans, all five of you out there, that they're relevant again. I'm just happy.
And I have to do this to my Knicks fans. If I could just go back for a second when you were talking about off-season grades and terrible acquisitions, can we please give the Toronto Raptors an honorable mention for giving Landry Fields all this money? I mean, you did me such a favor. As a Knicks fan, I was like, you know, I like Fields. If we keep him, we keep him. But I'm not concerned with paying him a lot of money. You did us a favor. Now, saying this, I pray and I hope that the Knicks, because right now everything's saying that they're going to let him ride. But Toronto didn't even want Fields. They did it just for Steve Nash.
Yeah.
And they didn't even get him. They had to get an honorable mention as one of the worst moves this offseason. You're giving Landry Fields over $8 million a year, Landry Fields?
Yeah. You know, they're Toronto. A couple things I want to mention. I don't know if he, you know, drunk the grandma juice. And Chad knows that. I don't know if he went to Germany and had the magic surgery that Kobe had. When did Brandon Roy become an item?
Oh, my gosh.
What did I miss? Was I asleep? Who in their right mind would touch Brandon Roy? Are we going to freeze him cryogenically and then wake him up in 2 years? I don't know. Yeah. I'm just confused. I'm like, yo, he's a tired.
I forgot all about this. Hold up. Let me say this. First of all, what I would offer Brandon Roy, besides a hug, would maybe be a 10-day, maybe a 10-day contract. Last we heard from Brandon Roy, this is 4 or 5 months ago. The doctor said you will never play again. I think
done.
He almost said you might not walk. I don't even know what the doctor said, but you are done. So when I hear teams like Minnesota, Chicago, not even talking about signing him, I'm talking about they're talking about signing him for multiple years. Like, is there a mixtape, a YouTube footage? Where is he playing basketball right now? Where is he for teams to be that sold on him? I mean, if you're talking about signing him, and I'm being completely optimistic here, and I hope that I'm completely wrong, his ceiling is Phoenix's version of Michael Redd. That's his ceiling, if you ask me. But more realistically, I look at him like another Gilbert Arenas. You know, so my heart goes out for him because we all know he was a high-character guy. He was definitely on his way to being one of the top five, two guards in the league when he was at his best.
Man.
You know, so if he can come back like that, then I would love to be wrong on Brandon Roy. But I'm glad you brought that up because I was completely baffled. Why are we money? Let me be quiet before the Knicks try to sign him. Let me just say, we might do it. I shouldn't even talk.
And speaking of that contract, you just came over the wire. How about the Omar Asik, 3 years, $25 million
for
a backup, a backup to the backup center, a backup center,
to the backup, right?
Yeah.
The secretary. I mean, gee, he gets what? What?
Yeah.
Chad was saying, like, the what did the collective of bargaining agreement do? What did it do?
They're throwing out bad contracts
left and right.
The bottom line is, let's go back to this. You can't protect a fool from himself. You know, now the players, you know, a lot of them came out of high school. A lot of them ain't the most educated. They can't speak. You don't want them talking. But they make some very valid points. It was like, this is the most profound statement you can make. Well, the owners are paying us the money. And it's like, what else can you say? There's nothing that you can do to me if y'all keep giving me money. Like, you can't protect these dumb owners from themselves. I mean, Dragic is getting $10 a year. Now the Knicks got to overpay Lynn $8 million a year. He played 20 games. I mean, it's just so ridiculous. It's asinine what's going on. The money is being thrown out. And when you think about Houston is like, they're playing a video game. They're like, we're going to stock up all these draft picks, get Dwight Howard. I love them for that if they hadn't got a general disagreement with Orlando, but they didn't.
Nope.
Now their team is just all over the place.
Gerald
Wallace, they were bidding against themselves. Who else was bidding for this backup center this hard?
Nobody.
Personal vendetta against the Chicago Bulls? You're like, whatever, by any means necessary, let's get them.
They basically pulled the Washington Redskins. I mean, I hate to say it, but it's And I also mentioned before, earlier in the show, I said there were two teams that should go after Dwight Howard. Obviously, Lakers number one, the first team I mentioned. The second team, and this is going to be a big surprise to everybody, who I feel like should go after Dwight Howard, just put the offer on the table, OKC.
Okay.
I would put OKC, I'll put Harden and Ibaka, because you're going to lose one of them in the next couple of years. You can't keep both of them. You're going to lose one of them because of the salary cap. I would put both of them on the table to Orlando and see what they say. And again, I would dare, if Orlando would say yes, I would dare Dwight Howard to say no to playing with Durant and Westbrook. Dare him.
I could agree more with that. The thing is, you keep using logic for your arguments, and you got to understand you're talking about an illogical person. Howard would screw his face up at the thought of going, the notion of going to OKC because of the small market. He's so caught on celebrity and playing with people that call him. He the reason he won't go to Lakers is Kobe won't call him. He wants Kobe to beg him. He wants 5-time champion Kobe Bryant to sit here, publicly say, screw Bynum, we want you. Now, Kobe Bryant might say that with a carrier pigeon or something, but he is not going to let anyone else know how bad he wants Dwight Howard. He won't do it. It's not going to happen. So Dwight Howard is looking for someone to kiss his butt. It got to the point that this is how bad a Dwight Howard situation is. Dean Williams was tired of it. That he said, let's just go out and get all these other pieces. Give me Joe Johnson, Gerald Wallace, Reggie Evans, and a Russian. I forgot the guy. They're bringing over. And that will suffice. Because I'm just tired of Howard's mouth. Everyone is tired of Howard. Orlando doesn't even want him anymore. So, to your point, Cyril, yes. OKC will be a great deal. The only other team I'll put in the mix is the Clippers. The Clippers are deep now. They're stacked. You go ahead and throw Jordan and somebody else out there and see if you can convince him to come and play with Chris Paul. Maybe Chris Paul stays. But Dwight Howard is just stuck on what he said. He's still saying, I'm only going to Brooklyn when Brooklyn can't afford you. Why are you still saying this? He said
because he's crazy. Let's just call it